Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Welcome to Set Free Live. This is Prophetess Deborah Taylor, and it is a blessing to be with you once again today. We're thanking God once again for his goodness and his mercy. We're very excited about this broadcast. We're going to have a very special guest on today. And so we're excited about all of our listeners listening in, tuning in. We want you to stay tuned to this special broadcast. Before I begin, though, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for allowing us one more time to just come over the airways via internet, and we're just asking that you bless this program, that you touch every listener. Father God, that you reach someone, God, that may not know you. Quicken our spirits to you, Father, to what you're doing in this hour. Father, we thank you for this end time move, and we thank you for the move of God. We thank you, God, for revival. We thank you for the refiner's fire and all that you're doing for your people. We want you to bless today and just have your way in this time, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today, we have a very special guest on that's joining us. Dr. Adams contacted us a few weeks ago, and we were very excited to hear from him. This great man of God is an author. He travels all throughout the country ministering the gospel. He's written a very exciting book called Nearing Midnight. Amen. And we're going to hear from him today. Dr. Adams, it's a blessing to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Amen. Praise God. Now, sir, what we want to do is just we want to give you opportunity to just share your heart. Now, we have been doing a study on the book of Revelation, and I got very excited when I heard that you had gone through this book, and Revelation has always excited me. And from a little child, whenever our pastor would do a teaching on the rapture or Revelation or anything dealing with end time prophecy, my spirit would just leap. I just have so many questions. And so we're up to chapter 7, but I want you just to take a few minutes and just share your heart concerning what's going on in the nation today and how end time prophecy is fitting in with what's going on with what we're seeing on in today's news and around the country.
Well, it's funny because that's one of the first things I do as soon as I wake up in the morning. I do a global search throughout the internet to find news titles that are in line with biblical prophecy, and I add it to my website under the daily news. Mm-hmm. And I constantly just see an unveiling of everything that's constantly happened. One thing I always found to be interesting as I got older, I started to see, and I always wanted to know, wow, you know, what does this mean? What's going on? I started to realize that really biblical prophecy is not like national treasure, referring to when looking for things to unlock a mystery key. What's really going on in the world today is the Bible is actually coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prophecy was already written.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see things happening, it's like people say, well, I don't understand Bible prophecy. So well, you can definitely say we're having earthquakes, we're having wars,
yes.
We're having storms that are more frequently,
yes.
We're having droughts in one part of the United States, floods in the other, and fires on the other end. You can start to see a tremendous amount of natural disasters that are taking, you know, more or less biblical proportion,
mm-hmm.
and people are having the question of, I can't explain it. Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
We see a powerful movement of the potential of having the new North American Union,
mm-hmm.
which would tie in United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Okay.
If you start doing searches on stuff like that, you'll also see that the Amira, which is the new money, that would come into effect to take care of our currency we have today.
Okay.
We see the shape of the European Union. We also know that Iran has an alliance with Russia.
Okay.
We know that Iran has an alliance with other Middle Eastern countries, and some of those Middle Eastern countries are, in fact, funding both with weapons and currency and money and stuff of that nature, to Hezbollah, which already has started his little war with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the potential for Ezekiel 38-39 is right on the brink of being fulfilled.
Yes.
Because we know Russia will attack Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What people are missing the understanding is when Russia does it, the Bible tells us that it attacks Israel when Israel doesn't have walls.
Okay.
Walls meaning protection.
Mm-hmm.
So the question kicks into, what happened to America?
Okay.
Why would we allow this? Why wasn't we able to, you know, help stop that? A lot of questions and theories come up. You know, what if the rapture took place? Because if the rapture did take place, knowing that the United States is one of the top countries funding the gospel, we would no longer be a significant player in end times prophecy because a majority of the United States would be raptured out.
Okay.
So, you know, things like that need to be prayed upon.
Okay.
We need to really pray about this. We need to ask God to guide us and not move so fast. I get tons of emails on who's the Antichrist.
Mm.
I kind of laugh about it because I really don't know who it is.
Okay.
You know, but what I find funny is they're looking for answers. Mm-hmm. I just think they're looking in the wrong places, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, I don't have a problem with you wanting to find God and do it, but don't look to things according to Scripture. When you find these things out, you weren't supposed to be here in the first place.
Okay. Now that
because, you know, what we know of the Antichrist is he signs the peace treaty with Israel that starts the tribulation.
That's exactly right.
So, according to Scripture and the way it sets up, we're supposed to already be raptured out.
That's correct.
So, if we're raptured out, you're not supposed to find out who the Antichrist is anyway. So, what are you looking for him for?
Correct. That's right.
You know, you're wasting time, in other words. You should be more focused in on, you know, God and family and just living. You know, because people always tell me, they go, oh, well, if the world's coming into an end, what should I do? What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Live your life.
Okay.
God wants you to live a happy, full, you know, fulfilling. He wants you to enjoy the things of this earth. He doesn't want you to love it.
Okay.
You know, because that red ass putting that above him.
Okay.
You know, I've had people say, man, I just love this chocolate cake. I say, oh, Lord.
Okay.
Slow down with the chocolate cake and enjoy it.
That's right. That's
you know, you're supposed to enjoy the things of the earth, not love it.
That's right.
You know, and Satan knows when you say something, boom, he's going to jump up as an accuser. The Bible tells us that.
That's right. That's
she's going to say, look, he's idling the cake, or he's idling the Florida trip they took, or, you know, the things of the world, they're going to point to it.
Okay.
You know, in the first book that I've written, I basically did the same thing you're doing. I took all chapters of Revelations, all 22 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I did it line by line, chapter by chapter, verse by verse.
Yes.
So I helped the reader to really get a good grasp and good feel for what's going on in Revelations.
Okay.
One of the most common mistakes I've ever seen was people think that John was this great prophecy. Actually, he was a secretary.
That's exactly. Really
Christ's revelation.
That's it.
And he told him, you know, write this down.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, and that's what people, oh my God, John the Divine, you look at the insight John had. That's not actually accurate.
That's right.
He was a secretary.
Yes. He wrote exactly what the Lord instructed him to write.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And you know, it was really an awesome thing. I can just imagine him on that island, you know. Well, in one point, I can imagine him there not realizing that what God was going to do, that God had to separate him, put him on an island, condemn him, so to speak, but put him where he could speak and where he could give him this great revelation, because that's really what it is. And how, what I like what you said of how Revelation is, we're walking prophecy out. We're not in this particular portion yet, because if we were, we'd really be in trouble. A lot of people feel like we are, and we're not. But I can it awes me to see how this man was given this dynamic scene, actually, and how it plays out and how it will play out for those that will be left. I want to ask you one quick question here that came to my mind. How do you feel that God is preparing the church to catch the church away? And what is, in your view, the condition of the church right now?
Well, two things. One, I believe when we do see these natural disasters, whether it be a fire or a hurricane or a tsunami, a bridge fall, 9/11, whatever, you know, after a lot of those things happen, you know what? Sunday morning, the church was so full you couldn't even stand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, let's just be real for a second. Most people pray in times of adversity.
They do. That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think those things that happen are definitely warning signs. He's not playing. He's very serious. I don't believe you can have ultimate love without ultimate justice.
Okay.
You know, how can you instruct your child, since he is a parent? You know, this is the point I want to drive home to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How can you instruct your child warning signs? Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, your seasons of patience will wear out.
Oh, my.
And the reward for the child is a punishment.
Okay.
That would be the same for us. You know, I did a radio interview, and I got 80 emails and was chewed out. Because I did say, and I believe this still in my heart, God is so loving and so merciful.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, you know, God still finds beauty inside of Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
And he still loves Charles Manson.
Oh, that's right. It's a soul. That's right. He's a soul.
I said, the problem isn't does God love Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, does Charles Manson love God?
Mm-hmm.
The day he asks for forgiveness, God will be right there to move in swift.
That's exactly right.
I said, why would God leave anyone astray? And I got, I can't believe you said that. Do you realize what he did? I said, it's irrelevant.
Okay.
According to Scripture.
Okay.
According to the actual Word of God, he made it very clear. He'll never forsake you. So that means even the hardest sinners on this planet right now as we speak, God is still right by their side waiting for them to say, I'm sorry.
Amen. That's good.
And that's where I believe he's at with the church. I think he's right next to them.
My God. Okay.
It's their free will and their free choice to either truly surrender or continue to live on the path that they're living.
Okay.
You know, what saddens me is this message, this end times message. Most pastors and ministers believe it's taught with a doom and gloom approach.
Okay.
That's not actually true. Yes, the tribulation is not going to be anything pretty.
Right. That's true.
But what is he doing? He's pouring out his judgment on earth.
That's exactly right.
Yes. And that's what we have to realize. If you are saved, you won't go through it. Now, we also know, according to Scripture, there'll be more souls saved after the rapture than before.
Than before, that's it.
So it is programs like this, the ministry that you do with your husband, the outreach, traveling into Africa and stuff like that, that's going to plant the seeds.
Yes.
For people to say, man, I remember this woman used to always come here.
Mm.
She said God was coming back. I bet you that's what happened.
Okay, there you
go.
You
know, that's why it is so important, you know, for us to do ministry outreach, evangelistic, you know, works, if you will, and really strive to help people. You know, people always feel kind of, you know, judgmental. Why you don't go to church? Because people look at me. I don't like people looking at me. You know, they're passing judgment on me because they're staring too hard. So they don't go to church. You know, you don't go to church for that. You go to church for God.
That's right.
You go to church to learn how to live.
Yes.
You know, there's another misconception. Good works, if I just work really hard and I don't really hurt nobody and I don't bother nobody, I'm going to make it into heaven. That's not what Scripture says.
Okay, that's it.
And the actual proof of that is one of the thieves on the cross never got down to do nothing.
Okay.
But he made it into heaven due to the fact he confessed.
He confessed. That's it. That's
so,
right.
You know, and I tell people, unless you're reading a different Bible than I am, he never got down off the cross.
Okay.
He died on it, just like Jesus did.
Yes, he did.
So people need to let the Bible interpret the Bible, And I think most people are like children when it comes to prophecy. I think they long to understand it, just don't know where to start.
Yes.
I think they really would love to know everything about God, you know, and the Bible tells us you'll live all eternity with him and never understand him.
Okay, that's it.
You know, I mean, his ways are not of our ways, his thoughts are not of our thoughts.
That's it. And we, over half of the Bible is prophecy when you go through it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he came for a purpose.
Yes.
You know, people say, well, he came into this world so you know, we can, you know, go to heaven. I say, that's part of it. But even while on earth, Christ himself talked about future events.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He even said he was going to prepare a place for you
and then come back for you.
That didn't necessarily mean you living your life and dying.
Okay.
That meant coming back before your natural body dies.
That's exactly right. That's right. He said that. That's it. Praise God. That's good.
You know, well, I mean, we need to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday morning message sometimes is legitimately half preached.
Okay.
I've been to some churches where they sung Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh,
oh, I'm dead serious.
No, you're right.
I'm like, you are kidding me?
Oh, my.
It's not that I got a problem with you singing a world song.
Hmm.
And I know Marvin Gaye's heart was probably in the right place when he wrote it, because I seen the video of the violence and stuff that was put in, and he wrote What's Going On. I understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not on Sunday morning.
Okay.
For Resurrection Sunday.
That's right.
You know, you can save that for any other, maybe Wednesday night Bible study or something.
My goodness.
Maybe right after 9/11.
Oh, my.
You know, but, and we have to get real with it, you know. Mm-hmm. People always say, man, I'm always so tired when I go to church. Why? Why am I so tired when I go to church? I said, well, you ever thought the devil would try to put you to sleep so you wouldn't get the word?
Mm.
And they said, well, I don't think the devil goes to church. And I said, let me tell you something. The devil's in the church.
My God.
His biggest weapon is religion.
My God.
And most of them are in the pulpit.
Mm.
Straight demons. I mean, inflicted like you can't imagine.
That's true.
They actually had something on television, which I don't know how accurate it may or may not be. It was talking about some of the top pastors, how wealthy they live.
Okay.
And it was on CBS.
Okay.
And how some of the members in their congregation are being literally kicked out of their homes.
Oh, my.
Because they have put the guilt trip that you're a dirty, filthy rag if you're not giving your best and your all to God.
Hmm.
First off, God knows what you can and can't give, so you don't have to get into that dispute with your pastor.
Okay.
You go to church in hopes that God has anointed your pastor
mm-hmm.
to feed you the right spiritual food you need.
Okay.
You don't go to church to impress your pastor.
Okay.
And so many people fall into that debt of rut, you know, hey, they got to get a new outfit,
mm.
you know, so they go and max out credit cards. Mm-hmm. You know, church ain't a fashion show either.
Right, that's it.
You know, I go to church in jeans and a polo shirt, mm-hmm. and I get the polo shirt at Walmart for $10.99.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. Come as you are.
Okay.
Reality is you probably could go to church without a shirt, and you'll definitely leave with one because somebody going to give you a shirt.
Now, okay. Praise God. It's about relationship.
You're not in a religion. You're in a relationship.
That's it. With God.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly right. And that's where God began to deal with us about a year or so ago about getting back to holiness and as far as holy living. And, you know, we don't hear a lot of messages on lifestyle, and I'm not meaning the natural, the spiritual. And this mm-hmm. is where our weight should be, allowing the Lord to have complete control of our life and walking according to the Word of God, pleasing him. Because we put so much emphasis on natural things and all that, like you said, on the prosperity and all of these things and not, saying anything's wrong per se, but it is when you put it before God. Anything
right.
that we put before God is an idol, and God hates idolatry. And there is a lot of idolatry in the church. And I guess that's why I was asking your opinion as far as where you felt the body is, because we can't go in the rapture weighted down. The body of Christ is weighted right now. And thank God for his mercy that he has not told Jesus, go get them.
Well, that trumpet ain't blown yet. And
that's right.
We need to be thankful for that.
That's right.
Now, that don't mean he ain't pulling it out and polishing it up.
All right. That's it.
He just, you know, I don't even want the guy to kind of test drive it, you know, get a few notes in before the mic kick on. Because
I know you're right.
They're going to be some people that are still going to miss it.
That's exactly right.
You know, and it's true. We really have to take what's going on in the world today serious.
Yes, we do. Yes,
and the reason is because God was serious on Calvary.
Okay.
He wasn't playing no games.
Yes. Praise God.
You know, we know that for a split second on that cross, he went from spirit to natural.
Yes.
And when he asked God, why have you forsaken me?
Okay.
Right then and there, everything that it was in the world was put on him. Boom.
Okay. Praise God.
That split second, that's when he took your sickness.
Yes, he did.
He took your bad marriage.
He did. That's right.
He took your problems in finances.
Amen.
He took all of that. That's why it was so, people said, man, why they beat him so hard? Because you live a hard life.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, you live a hard life.
Praise God.
Wait, you got to understand what the sins of the world mean. We got some people that are so evil in this world.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wait all of that on him.
He did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You know, and the Bible says, and with his stripes, we were healed.
We were healed. Amen.
So if you've seen all the stripes in Isaiah, it says no beauty was found upon him.
That's
there was
exactly
no flesh left.
Right.
They ripped every, I think Mel Gibson done a wonderful movie.
Yes.
But there were still pieces of flesh on him. They couldn't do what the Bible says, because I don't think it would have been able to be shown on TV.
Oh, my God. And that was
He said it clear out. There was no beauty found upon
him. No beauty. That's exactly right.
They didn't know if it was a man or an animal on that
thing. Yes, that's right.
Just so ripped up.
My God. My God.
And we have to realize and, you know, think about that. He allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
God allowed it to happen because that was quote unquote, that was it. This is the last sacrifice.
Okay, praise God.
You know, we went into a new era. You know, we no longer needed to go to certain places to get in hold of God. They ripped all that stuff.
My God.
You know, we knew at that point, you wanted to talk to me? Speak.
Praise God.
Talk inside your mind. Speak with your mouth. I'm going to be right there.
Thank the Lord.
Because he longs to fellowship with you.
Yes,
he wants
to
be close to you.
That's exactly right. Amen. That's
just like a parent.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we have just a few minutes left, and Dr. Adams, I would like you to tell us a little bit about what you're doing now as far as ministry, and I know you have a project coming up, and for the next few moments, just share your heart with us and let us know what's going on with your ministry.
Next week I do some speaking. I do travel and speak. I go to different churches. I speak on the Book of Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
We do a complete 60-inch screen, full color. Take the people that attend the church, or if it's at a hotel or whatever the case may be, through all 22 chapters of the Book of Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
We also show proof and evidence that the church will not go through the tribulation.
Okay.
And then we do a map out of, Christ told us there would be 7 conditions the earth would be in upon his return. And we tie all that into the Bible, and we tie that all into the 7 conditions the earth is already in. To show that at any given second this can happen.
My God.
The 2 books I do have out, first one is Nearing Midnight,
mm-hmm.
and the second one is Nearing Midnight 2, New World Order in the Middle East, that ties more into what's going on in the world today and how things in the Middle East are reshaping our planet and our world that we live in.
Mm.
We are in the process of filming a documentary. Yesterday we were at our state capitol. We interviewed one of our state senators right there on the Senate floor. Had a wonderful time.
Praise
very,
God.
Very rare opportunity.
Praise
not
God.
Not many television cameras, let alone an outside film crew, can come in and film on the Senate floor.
My God.
So we had that blessed opportunity,
praise
and
God.
We did that.
Okay.
Tonight, I'll be up probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We're editing. So we are putting together a documentary film.
Praise God.
for this, and
okay.
It's called End Times.
Okay.
And the main thing, I might not be able to get everyone to the cross,
mm-hmm.
but if I can plant enough seeds, sooner or later, some of them are going to get some faith inside that seed, which is nourishment, because
okay.
you need nourishment for a seed to grow.
Praise God. Praise
so if we can get some faith in them seeds,
amen.
Maybe we can get them seeds to grow into some oak trees.
Amen. Amen.
You know, as opposed to a little weed or something. You know?
Thank the Lord. Well, Dr. Edison,
that's what we're doing. We're putting together this movie.
Okay.
We have the books out.
Mm-hmm.
I do travel and speak and stuff like that. And
okay.
my website, I'll give you my website.
Yes.
I know there'd be
yes,
some viewers that may have
yes.
an interest.
How
they can go to
you?
Mm-hmm. www.nearingmidnight.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send that to Dr. Period. That's just Dr. Period. Adams, Adams, @nearingmidnight.com.
Okay, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Now that, I'm going to just repeat that. We do thank you, Dr. Adams, for taking the time to join us this morning. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you on the broadcast, and I believe this will not be your last time. We want you to come back again. I know you have a very busy schedule.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Which is a good thing because
oh, yeah.
you know, we're to work while it's day. We know night is coming, and when night comes, no one is going to be able to work. So everything that God gives us to do, we're to do it. And I applaud you for all that you're doing, and I speak blessings into your life and provision into your life and strength into your life, that the Lord will keep you as you go to and fro and bless all the work of your hands. And I'm excited about the documentary. We want to get that when it's available, or tell us how we can view it when it comes. But we want you to come back once that's out. We want you to come back and share again. I want to keep in contact because, like I said, End Time Prophecy is part of my ministry. And I'm excited about what God is doing in this hour. And so you listening out there, again, if you'd like to reach Dr. Adams, you can visit his website at www.nearingmidnight.com or drop him an email at dr.adams@nearingmidnight.com. Amen. You've been listening to Set Free Live. We're thanking God for all that he is doing and for this great broadcast today, just to let us know how near we are to the coming of the Lord. We don't know when. We don't know the exact time. But, beloved, know this. Jesus is coming, and it behooves us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. If you're not right with God, we want you to know that Jesus loves you. As Dr. Adams has said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for your sicknesses, for your diseases. And so no matter how low you may be right now, Jesus has been there. He's been just as low as you are right now, and he'll pick you up. Amen. And he'll put life back into you. Glory to God. And he'll give you a reason to live. He'll put hope if there's no hope. And we want to just pray right now. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for Dr. Adams and for all that he's doing in his ministry. We want you to bless him. Bless the listeners, Father, those that may not know you. Help them, Lord, to surrender their life to you, realizing that we're living almost at midnight and you're soon to come. Help them, Father God, to ask you to come into their lives, to repent of their sins. And, Father, you make a difference and make a change. And, Father, we're thanking you now. We're giving you glory, we're giving you honor, and we're giving you praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, until our next broadcast, we want you to know that God loves you. Keep looking up. Keep tuning in. Amen. We invite you, amen, to visit our website at www.wopministries.org. You may also drop us an email at deborah@wopministries.org. We thank you again for listening. We send you with Godspeed on today. Pray that you have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen. Know that God loves you, beloved. Know that he's working things out for you. Amen. Keep looking up and know that God is on your side. Until our next broadcast, we want you to be blessed and know that God loves you. God bless you.